Well, after a bye week and a much deserved bye week for our beloved Eagles to get some time off and some rest, they are back and we are back here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thanks for joining us on the after bye week special to preview the upcoming game for week 8 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We want to thank everybody who's watching on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook Live, our regular viewers. We also want to thank everybody who tunes in on the podcast on regular. Thank you so much. Our numbers have been going up, and it's been really nice to see. So whether you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast or Amazon Music or many of the other providers, we thank you. We also want to make sure that this open forum, if you have anything you want to comment or talk about, you can just comment on any platform that you're on, and we'll be sure to answer your question. But before we get into the game with the Steelers, Eagles had a week off, which is great because they needed it to get Lane Johnson healthy after his concussion, because he got yanked from that game against Dallas quickly and they survived. A lot of other players are starting to get healthy. We're getting ready to pull Dillard off the IR. That's a good thing. But 1 November is the trade deadline. And I was watching these trades start to happen. We saw James Robinson get traded. Where did James Robinson go? My brain's going blank.
He went to the Jets.
The Jets, yes, after Breece Hall's injury. Yes.
For Breece Hall.
Right.
That's that first you were upset about trading. I don't want to cut you off. Go on.
That is true. I traded Breece Hall in fantasy.
Laughing, bro. Keep it real.
I know.
Keep it real. Keep it real. Right. When you seen Breece Hall, when you seen the news, I'm sure you were like, man, that sucks for that guy. I'm not saying you were you popped a bottle necessarily because you understand a person that's been hurt. But, you got to feel good.
Well, I basically got Gerald Everett. I got Gerald Everett for free. I traded Breece Hall early in the season because I wasn't using him because I had Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs. So it was like I had him sitting there on my bench, and then Kittle wasn't doing jack for me. So here I get offered Gerald Everett, who'd been doing good for the Chargers as a target for Herbert. So I took it, and then all of a sudden Breece goes off for 20 points in two straight weeks, and I'm going, that was a mistake, that was a mistake. And then, he goes out with ACL. I wasn't jumping and doing hoops and celebrating, but I was kind of like, well, I got rid of him at the right time because I would be devastated to lose that in my game. I'm pretty happy where I'm sitting right now. Top scorer this week, which, I mean, I had Burrow. Aaron Jones went off. Cook went off. It was good. It was a good week for me. So I ain't going to complain. We'll see what goes forward. But so the Jets trade for Robinson. The Chiefs went out and got Kadarius Toney. The one that really irked me was Hankins going to the Cowboys to fill their defensive tackle spot to help them against the run game. And I'm like, all right, Howie, what do you got? What do you got? Because we know Howie in these type of situations is he's going to make a move. He always does when the Eagles are contenders. If they're not contenders, he makes a move the other way usually. We usually dump somebody, like when we got rid of Zach Ertz last year. So I was expecting a lot of things. I know that they were trying to get Burns from the Carolina Panthers, but the asking price was too high. But he did make a deal, and if you were under a rock and you don't know, the Eagles got Robert Quinn Medicine Woman from the Chicago Bears for a fourth round draft pick. And this is amazing for a 32-year-old defensive end who had 18 and a half sacks last year for the Bears, for the Eagles to get him for a fourth round pick. And the biggest part of this is the Bears are picking up his salary for the rest of this year. How did Howie pull that off?
Man, that is that's a hell of a trade, man. For a fourth round draft pick as well, too. You know, his age can be concerning, but not his productivity. Maybe this year, but you never know how motivated a guy is, especially when you get into your 30s and you're on a team that really not going to win the Super Bowl, at least not this year. So, you know, I'm sure he was very happy.
Oh, yeah.
When he got the call. You know, they probably asked him first, like, hey, how you feel about going to the Eagles? He was like, yes. You mean a 6-0 team? You know, a team that that has Super Bowl aspirations. You know, team that went to the playoffs last year, a team that's really building something.
Exactly.
Over there. You know, one of the things about Quinn, he was the oldest, even at 32, he was the oldest Bears on the defense. He was the oldest on the defense. So this was just, hey, we're trying to get young. When you see a guy like Brister this weekend who looked really good with that one-handed pick on Matt Jones, I mean, he looked really good there. So you can see they have a real nice young squad, man. So this makes sense for the Bears, and it makes sense for the Eagles as well.
Well, and you got to remember, if you remember last year, even though the Bears struggled, that defense, when they had Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, it was a dominant defense once they brought Mack into that. And Quinn, that was one of the things that helped Quinn out. This year, Mack goes to the Chargers, and Quinn's getting a lot of double teams. So it's important to note that, yeah, he may have 1.5 sacks this year, but he was getting the benefit of just constant double team pressure, which he is unlikely to see on the Philadelphia line because they've got too many people to double team. So you can't, if you double team Quinn, you're going to leave Graham wide open coming in or Sweat. It's important to note that he's got another year left on his contract. So it may spill the end for Brandon Graham, who's 34, who's 2 years older than Quinn. So Graham took it with a grain of salt. There was kind of a little bit of sadness in his voice, but he was trying to remain positive. But it was kind of clear that, look, Graham's contract is due at the end of this year. And if they're going to have Quinn for another year, it probably means that they probably aren't going to be able to keep Graham. But that's not what we're doing this for. We're bringing Quinn in so that Graham can get a chance at another Super Bowl. This is what you do when you know you have a shot. And just looking at this guy's numbers, he's been in the league since 2011 when he was 21 years old, and he's played in 163 games. He started 142 of them, and you look at his sack totals, he has 102 sacks in his career, 367 tackles, 284 solo tackles. He has 176 quarterback hits. This is a dominant player at his position. And if you know football, you know that this is a good deal for the Eagles. Yes, he's not 21 years old anymore. He's 32, but he's still in good football shape. He's coming off of a great year. And another thing to note is that last year the Bears were running a 4-3. And this year they went to a 3-4, which has affected his numbers as far as what Quinn likes to play in. What did the Eagles run? A 4-3. So this is a perfect setup for Quinn. I'm excited. I think I was glad just to see the deal of what it was to only give up a fourth round pick. And a lot of people are noting that the reason how we asked the Bears to pick up the rest of his salary, and that was part of the deal, because I think that that's why the Bears didn't give anything back besides Quinn. It was a, you know, exchange, and I think that was what was negotiated to where the Bears wouldn't give back a sixth round pick or something.
We gave them a fourth round pick. They gave us a 18.5 sack player. Plus they fronted us, I guess, $10 million for the 18. So they gave us $10 million.
Yep.
You know, it's like cash in the player. You know, we got cash and a player for the fourth round draft pick. And so, yeah, like I said, man, it was good. But what you about to say there?
But what I was saying, what the significance is, the Eagles don't need that money this year. They're under the cap. So the all signs point to Howie is not done, that he wants that $10 million to be able to sign another player before the 1 November deadline. I can't wait for 1 November only just to see what he does, because it could be a running back. You know, there's been a lot of rumors that they were after Christian McCaffrey, but the asking price was too high. But Kareem Hunt is still out there. There's been other backs that have been mentioned that the Eagles might be going after. I think Kareem Hunt is a good fit for two reasons. I think he's a good blocker in the backfield. Not exceptional, but adequate. But the big thing about Kareem Hunt for us is that he is a good out of the backfield as far as catching balls. And we don't have that right now. And that's a dynamic that I think really Jalen Hurts needs. They thought Gainwell would be that guy. Gainwell has not been that guy. Boston Scott hasn't been that guy. And Miles Sanders definitely hasn't been that guy. Miles is great between the tackles, running the ball, elusiveness, but none of them give us that dynamic. And that's just one more factor that would help the Eagles, put the Eagles over the top. So that's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see.
You like Hunt. And I think the reason why everybody likes Hunt is because we know we may not have to give up a whole lot to get Hunt. But I think a lot of teams are probably after Hunt. He'll probably start on the majority of the teams in this NFL, in the league. But, man, did you see that Alvin Kamara could potentially be on the trading block as well, too? Can you imagine us sending our first-round pick back to the Saints and then getting Kamara? But then I think, man, do you think Kamara's worth the first-round pick right now? I'll ask you that question now. Do you think Kamara's worth the first-round pick if we can give him that first back and get Kamara? They probably wouldn't do it. It'd be bad business. But
I think not giving the Saints back their pick, but giving the Eagles their first-round pick, which will probably be a lot lower. If the Eagles go to the playoffs and the Saints don't, right now the Saints are sitting where we'd be picking number four with that pick. That's a high. You can't give that up. But if they were to give a first-round pick that would be late in the round, I think that would be benefit. I think that would be worth having a guy like Kamara. Kamara would be unbelievable. I wouldn't even expect that. If that happened, I couldn't even do the podcast. I'd be speechless.
But if you have guys like Michael Thomas, who seems to haven't really believed in the Saints in the last couple years, because he probably could have played last year, but he was just kind of like, oh, I'm injured. You know, and he sat out, you know, the last half of like Breeze's year. So he spent a lot of time out. But just like, where are the Saints going right now? Right. They don't really have a steady quarterback that they can rely on. So if you have your Kamara, he said it the other day, I'm just not used to losing. Guys like Kamara, when you're a running back, you know, your career isn't that long. No. So I just looked at, you know, maybe he gets a little itchy himself and pushes the issue to get out of there, because if not, man, they're probably gonna have a rough season, you know, continue. Cause it's kind of like, if you take Kamara out and Thomas isn't really playing a lot, you have Chris Olave, but he's still a rookie. So there's ways to, you know, make rookies have poor games, even though he's pretty solid. I just think it was just a wish. I'm just trying to speak it in to existence. Like, man, maybe he wants to leave, because I don't really know what's going on with the Saints this year. I can only think of like maybe Tyrann Mathieu, the only person they picked up in the offseason besides like Olave and stuff like that. So just looking at that trade, you know, Hunt would be ideal because he's also a big back as well, too. And like I said, we want a guy that can take it and go. We don't really have a guy that can pass catch and go down the field,
right?
Pass catch and you get like 3 or 4 yards, and you know, not really a lot of separation, or not really running the route right, or disguising it right. There's so many things that go into it. So, what about Najee Harris, man? You think we can snatch Najee from the Steelers?
I think
he's not even out there, but like, I'm just spitballing because the Steelers week. I figure, hey, why not throw that out there? We're going to see him this week.
He's not having the greatest of seasons, and it could be partially the line, the play calling, having new quarterbacks, all that contributes. But the first part about, you know, the possibility of getting Kamara and Najee thrown in too, I think it's going to say a lot what happens this weekend. If both those teams lose, if we, you know, beat the Steelers, then they're going to be looking at, they're going to look at the exit. I think you've made a good point about the Saints, though, is that they've got Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston right now at QB. That's not their future quarterback. They are in rebuilding mode, and they're about to come to terms with it. I think they wanted to give Jameis another year, and he's still throwing interceptions. Then you give Dalton a chance when Jameis goes down and he's throwing picks. He was doing all right until until last weekend, and then he threw like 3 picks. So
pick sixes. I mean,
yeah.
He threw Arizona right back into the game.
Exactly. So I think that they've got to come to grips with that. And if they were able to get a first round pick or even a second for Kamara, I think they might take that to be able to rebuild. Because Kamara isn't, by the time they have a good quarterback and a good team, Kamara is not going to be worth anything to them. They're going to need to rebuild. So that would be, man, if the Eagles landed Kamara, I think that would drop every prognosticator in the media on their ass. I mean, you saw, was it Marcus Spears on the NFL, on ESPN, because he, you know, he's a former Cowboy, and they were reporting during NFL to live that the Eagles got Quinn, and he basically just put his head back. Have you seen that clip? He literally, in the clip, they're talking and they say it, and he's talking, and he just goes this. And he wouldn't even move. He was devastated, which is awesome. But it's one thing to get a player. It's another thing for the player to actually dominate. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure he was really happy about the Cowboys getting Hankins, which was a great trade for them. And I think they're neck and neck right now, you know, as far as teams go. But the Eagles have the upper hand because they won head-to-head. So this Quinn deal gives them a lot. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with Howie on this trade deal. Right now, we know what's coming up right now. It is Halloween, so we've got to be ready for some, you know. And then some scariness, because this Sunday, which is October.
Booga, booga.
So this Sunday, the day before Halloween, we've got the Eagles at home at Lincoln Financial Field playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, the aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers with Najee Harris. And so we're going to have the annual holiday game, which we just love, with the people dressed in the audience, everybody in costume. I'm sure somebody will be dressed as Santa with snowballs pelted all over them, which is a common theme in Philadelphia. But there'll be some great outfits, and it'll be the great, you know, it's a great weekend. Hopefully, this is a great weekend for the Eagles as far as Halloween gifts. Now, I want to show you my pumpkin. Here's mine right there.
That's pretty dope.
I wish that was mine. I didn't make that. I wish I was that creative.
I know.
That would be awesome.
I knew the Eagles are 6-0, but geez.
That's the great pumpkin right there. That is the great pumpkin. I have to get my wife my wife is that creative. I am not. I can't even draw stick figures right. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know one guy who won't be at the game on Sunday, and it's this guy right here. I don't know if you saw this guy right in the middle of right there, 21-27. You did not see this during the Cowboys?
No.
So see the guy with his arm raised?
What happened here?
He snuck into the locker room area, into the tunnel, and ran out on the field with the Eagles. And it was one of the Eagles. I forget who it was. I don't know if it was CJ. It was one of the defensive backs who tweeted when this came out, this footage. He ran out there, and he was standing between this guy and Andre Dillard. And he said, I looked over at Andre, and I went, who's this guy? And they thought he won a competition or something.
Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Exactly. So this guy is everybody's hero in Philadelphia right now. Ran all the way with the team, all the way to midfield before he got caught and was escorted out of the building. So he will not be at the game this Sunday, but it's going to be a good one. Another person who will be at the game, but not at our game, he's going to be down in Houston, is the Philly Fanatic. And we got to congratulate the Philadelphia Phillies for getting into the World Series. They start Friday night in game one in Houston against the Astros. And this was just an awesome moment in Philly where Jason Kelce chugs a beer for the entire crowd and just chanting, you know, and going nuts. And then he runs over and bear hugs the Philly Fanatic. So the Phillies, congratulations to them, which is awesome. They're going to be taking on a really, really tough team in the Astros. But it was awesome to see Kelce out there. And if you catch up with their podcast with Kelce, the Kelce brothers do a podcast, they were talking about this moment and how Kelce is just, he said, one of the things he said, it was so cool. He's like, you don't get to be a fan a lot in what you do because they're always on the field. So be able to be a fan and just enjoy the moment. That's why he got so into it, had a few beers, and then gave the Fanatic a bear hug. So anyway, let's talk about this. And what?
Improbable. No, just talking about the Phillies. Just an improbable, because I didn't start wearing this hat yesterday. just an improbable season, man. You know, they expanded the playoffs. That's how they got in.
Right.
You know, to start. I mean, this was the worst. This wasn't the worst team in the NL. They just slid towards the end of the season. That's all. They've always been a good squad. I mean,
they started off horrible.
MVP Harper. Right. And then they fired
Girardi.
Girardi, who was a, you know, World Series winning coach in his own right, but he just didn't fit. And then all of a sudden, they just took off, man. And those, the bats really, you know, you get Schwarber, you got Rice Hopkins, and then you got the MVP himself, Harper.
Yep.
And man, what a, you know, I watched three games down in Cancun, and I'm right at the bar with, you know, some people from South Jersey, and some Padre fans as well too. Everybody was real cordial, man. But it was awesome, man. It was awesome to see, man. Yeah, man. So, for, you know, shout out to the Phillies, man. And man, to beat the Astros is going to be, it's the tallest task yet. So I'm about a team that's been in the World Series 4 out of the last 6 years, even though they have really Patriot tendencies,
yes,
to these Astros.
Yeah.
So nobody's rooting for the Astros, which puts, I say, the Patriots on purpose, because when the Eagles played the Patriots, everybody mm-hmm. were rooting for the Eagles. Like people that would just see me out, like, hey, man, beat those cheaters, or, you know, stuff like that. People really despise the Astros because they have been confirmed mm-hmm. cheaters. This video proof, evidence, 100%. These are cheaters. So there's going to be a lot of energy behind the Phillies to beat just the Astros, you know, in general. But yeah, man, so that should be, you know, if you're in Philly right now, man, it is just good to be a sports fan in Philly, man. It really is right now, even though the Sixers coming out the blocks a little, little light, still a lot of stars there.
Flyers getting off to a good start for the season, which is surprising because they've not been good as of late. So, yeah, but the Phillies are the same type of underdog as the Eagles were when they won their Super Bowl. Even though the Eagles were the number one seed, in everybody's mind, they were the least favorite because they lost Carson Wentz. So nobody gave them a chance. The Phillies, I think it was the 2 days before the end of the season, before they got in, because they went in that slump and just started giving it away, and then get into the playoffs with 2 days to go to get the sixth seed. And a sixth seed that got in 2 days before against a one seed that got in long before the season was over, that has been a juggernaut, second most wins in the league, Justin Verlander, Altuve, they've got a lot of really great players, which is a shame that they did cheat a couple of years ago. And it's not that they might have cheated. They cheated. They were watching, they were videotaping signals and then sending signals to the batters by Morse code, which is unbelievable. It's such an elaborate scheme, and no one forgets that. So they may not be doing it.
Out there. You just caught it. You just got it.
The wind talkers. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they have wind talkers out there, man, in the stands and beating on things and just unbelievable. You know, I used to root for Houston, man. I used to love their squad. I like Altuve. I just love their team.
Yeah.
But once you do something like that, it's like, ugh.
Yes.
It's tough, man, because, you know, everybody likes fair play, man. At the end of the day, nobody likes a cheater, like, especially when you've been caught. I mean, just they were caught.
Yeah.
So just like Spygate, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were caught. So, like, there is video evidence of them taping another team's play. Like,
the only difference is the Major League Baseball stuck it to the Astros and made them an example, whereas the NFL burned the tapes, you know, so that it wouldn't leak. And I really do believe the NFL burned the tapes because one of those tapes were the Eagles, and it would have tainted the Super Bowl because everything came out in the light after the Super Bowl, and they were so adamant to say it did not affect the Super Bowl. And when you say it that many times, that leads me to believe that it did. And I've always been bitter about that. And the thing for me is Brady was University of Michigan, which is I rooted for him there. So I was kind of at a, you know, I didn't hate the Patriots when they played the Eagles in 2005. I was, you know, I had no animosity. But then after that game, I can't look at them the same way, because they could have cost Philadelphia their one and only chance at a Super Bowl by cheating. And if you watch that game, just watch it. Watch that game and see how many times the Patriots just seem to always be in the right place at the right time on both sides of the ball. But anyway, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Philly's great. We're congratulating them. But the reason we're here tonight is talk about the upcoming game with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town. It's been 2 weeks since we've had Eagle football, and we've got a real tough stretch coming up ahead, not so much as in opponents, but as in how many games they got to play over the next 2 weeks. They got to play three games in 2 weeks, which is a big ask. Now, they're not playing the juggernauts. They're playing the Steelers, the Texans, because they play Sunday afternoon, and then we turn around and play the Texans on Thursday night football, and then we turn around the following week. So we have a week and a half off, technically, and we play the Commanders on Sunday or Monday night. I can't remember, but it's another primetime game.
We played them on...
Is it Sunday?
It's the Sunday night
Sunday game. Night. That's what I thought.
14th.
Yeah, so that's a big ad. That's a big ass. Two primetime games, and then this game against the Steelers. But real quick, let's look at the recent meetings, and we got this graphic fix that was messed up the last time. So we know the Eagles' last five games. They beat the Dallas Cowboys in an amazing, just an amazing game. Really was looks closer than it was because they did allow the Cowboys to come back into it in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Cardinals, that one came down to the wire with a missed field goal. But again, the Eagles were in command of that until they let the Cardinals back in. The Jacksonville Jaguars, another one they were dominating, and the Eagles let them back in the game. It's a common theme here where the Eagles tend to do this. The Washington never let them back in until the fourth quarter. They gave up the one touchdown. And the same thing with Minnesota. Real quick, I do want to discuss this about the Eagles' recent games because we've got this graphic here when we talk about the rest of them. This is the Eagles' winning formula this season. First quarter, keep it even. And that's what they do. They tend to maybe 3-3 in the first quarter. They tend to have maybe one good drive, but then they start a good second drive that goes into the second quarter, which we're calling murder ball, where they just destroy teams in the second quarter. If they played the rest of the quarters like they did the second quarter, they would win every game by 30 points because they just blow it up in the second quarter. They come out after half and take a power nap. And we've talked about it on this show. Is like we have got to get better coming out of the half. They don't seem to have their scheme set up, or maybe it's just bad luck. But their first drive out of halftime has just been lousy, and they don't seem to be able to get the momentum back, especially if they have this lead. So they let teams back in, both offensively and defensively. And then in the fourth quarter, it says, oh, yeah, run the ball. Got it. And that's when we do. We turn it over to our run game in the fourth quarter to save our bacon, come up with a long drive that Jalen Hurts usually masters and Miles Sanders is a part of, and we end up either kicking a field goal or scoring the winning touchdown like we did with the Cowboys in order to save it. And honestly, going into this game with the Steelers, that's what kind of worries me, is because this is not a good team. Let's be honest. Let's look at the Steelers' last few games. They lost at Miami 16-10. And the thing was Miami was not doing anything offensively. The Steelers' defense had them hemmed in. But the Steelers couldn't score any points against a team that had been giving up points, a lot of points, in the last few games, the defense. So the Steelers can't seem to score. They did beat Tampa Bay. All right, so you can go Steelers beat Tampa Bay 20-18. Well, Tampa Bay just lost to Carolina Panthers. So we're starting to see, and they lost to Green Bay, Tampa Bay did, 14-12. So we're kind of seeing that Tampa Bay, Tom Brady maybe shouldn't have come back. This is not the same team from last year. They have a lot of injuries. They don't have a lot going on. Then look at the Buffalo game. At Buffalo, they lost 38-3. This is what I want to see the Eagles do on Sunday. I want to see a 30-3 or something in that vein, 27-3 at least. They lost at home to the Jets 24-20, and then they lost at Cleveland 29-17. The Steelers are not a good football team right now. They have good pieces, but not a good football team. But the problem is do the Eagles have the killer instinct if they get into this game, get a lead, to be able to not just rest on it? What are your thoughts going into this? Because it's really bothering me.
Yeah, man. Just looking at that schedule, it shows you how weird the NFL is that you have a Dolphins team that beat the Bills, but Steelers somehow beat the Dolphins. You know, it's just a weird thing, but same Steelers team that get destroyed by the Bills. It's just weird, man. And I think we have to really go out there and try to close them out as quickly as possible, man. Maybe that second quarter murder ball is enough to get us ahead because they haven't really proven that they can really score a lot this year with the Steelers. And, even last week, they dropped, man, about four or five interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, just flat out dropped them against Tua last week. I have to.
Yeah, he threw some bad balls. Yeah.
And I mean, they were just sliding from the helmet all the way down, these players. I mean, I dropped at least three that I remember just seeing, like watching the replays and highlights and stuff. So the Steelers could have very well won that game. What they do well, man, the Steelers aren't, you know, they just haven't really had good consistent quarterback play, because they have Claypool.
Yep.
They have George Pickens, who's coming around,
yep,
who I always thought would. He was good at Georgia. Just had an injury that you really didn't see him last year, and that's why he kind of fell off the radar. But he's still a really good player, man. You know, the strengths that we have against them is that if Pickett starts, you know, Pickett has 2-3 interception games this year.
Right.
One was in six quarters. Six quarters, six interceptions. You know, because he came in the second half of one game, threw three picks. He threw three picks still last week. The Eagles' defense, I think we're matching up well. Last couple games, we're getting up seven touchdowns this year. It's only to our nine interceptions. So we have that touchdown. You know, that's good. When you get more interceptions, then you're giving up touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Claypool and the boys are going to have a long day out there. So I think we match up well with them, you know, just when it comes to, like, the defense aspect of it, man. But I think, you know, with our games coming up close, like when we talked about the schedule, the games coming up close, and like we have Washington actually on Monday night, because I'm looking at this ESPN game. So they kind of did a somewhat a solid to give us the Thursday night game, but then the Monday night game. So that's a little bit of a solid, from the NFL. Because, you know, that turnaround.
The Houston game will be tough because we got to finish this game with the Steelers, and then you've got 2 days before you got to go into Houston. And
100%.
And that's going to be rough. But at least it's Houston and not Dallas or the Giants, because that would be devastating.
Right. We're facing good running backs back-to-back weeks, really, because Pierce is looking good out in Houston. But
yes, he
speaking
is.
Of just Pittsburgh, you know, they still have a really good running back there, Najee Harris. And the Eagles are ranked 28th in the league, man. We're giving up 5 yards a carry on the ground.
Yeah.
So we got a guy like Najee coming into town. He could hurt us. He could hurt us really, really bad. So they have, you know, pockets. Like, our weakness is where, you know, their strength is, I believe. And you know, that's what having Najee, even though he hasn't had a spectacular year. You know, if you'd have told me at the start of the season that Miles Sanders would be running the ball better than Najee Harris, I would have been like, that doesn't make any sense, man. But that's the facts right now. Miles Sanders is having a better year than Najee, even though he's not catching the ball, especially, you know, just running the ball. I think, Miles Sanders is having a better year. So I think we match up really well with these guys, man. And we can't let this game slip. I thought it could be a trap game, but I'm like, for it to be a trap game, your next opponent needs to be a really good opponent. So it's not a trap game, but you just hope that they don't just kind of try to sleepwalk through the game. It's my whole thing. And then all of a sudden they catch fire, and because they have playmakers, you know, Claypool is a playmaker. You know, Pickens is a playmaker. So, and Najee Harris can, you know, he's still a formidable back, man. Still one of the best backs in the league. So we definitely got to keep our head down. We have to stop the run, which means playing more Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that now, man, playing more Jordan Davis. I should see more Jordan Davis this time around. And going to be nice to see how many reps Quinn gets to, you know, because one of the things we forget that we lost Barnett at the beginning of the season against Detroit. So it's not like we weren't down a lineman. We were down a lineman as far as, you know, coming to the season. So we get that next power guy, because Graham is a good pass rusher, but he can get knocked off the ball on the run game. So Quinn gives us that best of both worlds, where he can get sacks, but he's still a 6'4", 250 defensive end. Super strong, a lot of games under his belt, along with Hassan Reddick out there, man. I think we should cause some problems.
Yeah. I think this game could be a lot like the Washington game, where you've got a quarterback who isn't playing very well. Pickett is a rookie. It's obvious a rookie. So my hope is that Gannon doesn't take it easy on him. I do hope that they do like they did with Kyler Murray, because he is a threat to run. So you want to keep him contained. You don't want to overrun the passer, but you want to do is collapse the pocket on him and give him no options, make him pressure him into mistakes. Miami let him out a little times. He got away on a few runs that looked really good, and I don't want to see the Eagles do that. But you're right. The thing that just worries me is that if you look at the roster, like you said, if you look at the Steelers roster on both sides of the ball, it's mystifying why this team isn't doing better than it is. Why is it Najee? And I think it does go back to the quarterback, because Trubisky was playing the dump-off king before he got yanked for Pickett. And then they've gone back and forth, and now they've settled on Pickett because they're going to give him a chance to get some experience. And so it's good to get him while he's in this state right now before he actually may turn out to be a decent quarterback, because you're right, Harris is going to be a lot of problems, so they're going to have to stack against the run. And they've also got, you know, like you said, Pickens and Claypool, but they got Deontay Johnson, which can be a threat. And Freiermuth at tight end is somebody that makes plays. So they have weapons. Is their offensive line that great? Probably not. That's probably one of the reasons that Najee's not having a great day. So this could be a big sack day for the Eagles. And with getting Reddick and Quinn and Grant, all of them involved, it's going to be interesting. But I think that my worries on offense pale in comparison to when I look at the Steelers on defense. I think that this is an opportunistic defense. They may not be the best as far as holding teams out of the end zone, but they are ball hawks. And Minka Fitzpatrick, who Jalen Hurts was with at Alabama, they know each other very well. And do you believe Jalen's going to know where Minka is during that game? Because he is an incredible safety, and he lines up next to Terrell Edmonds, who's also an amazing safety. At the defensive line, you got Okunjobi, which is a great player. Cam Hayward, another great defensive end that we have to worry about. You got at linebacker, you got Devin Bush and Miles Jack. I mean, seriously, this is a really good defensive team.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it's like when I look at it and I see that the Eagles are at home and they're 11.5-point favorites, I'm going, I get it when I look at the last few games the Steelers have played, especially that 38-3 drubbing by the Bills. But I look at their roster and I'm like, why? What is going on that I'm not seeing? And then you see a game like against Miami where they were in it. It's just like you said, the quarterback play is what's holding them back. So if we respect Pickett too much, I think that could be the deal that hurts us. If we let him, other teams are not respecting their quarterback play. And I think that's what's killing the Steelers, is that they're coming after Pickett or Trubisky, whoever's back there. Yeah. And that's what's causing them into turnovers. So, I mean, that's what the game comes down to. What do we do to Pickett in order to put the Eagles in the best position possible? Offensively, I think the Eagles can move the ball against any defense. We saw that with Dallas. They are going to come into this game plan. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the 16th ranked defense, so they're right in the middle. But their run defense, if we look at the numbers, let's look at everything here real quick. So we've got Eagles are fourth in the league in points scored per game at 26.8. Steelers 31st at 15.3 points per game. They're not scoring points with Pickett. Points allowed, the Eagles are only allowing 17 points per game, which is fourth in the league. Steelers allowing 23, which isn't that high, but it's 22nd in the league. Yards per game, the Eagles have 408 yards per game average, fifth in the league. Steelers 100 less than that, 311, which is 30th in the league. Passing yards per game, the Eagles are 252.3, could be higher. It's 13th in the league, but Jalen does a lot with his feet, so I'm not worried about that. The Steelers, the 224 passing yards per game is what they're averaging. That's good for 25th in the league. Then we go to rushing yards per game. Eagles, 156, 6th in the league, and the Steelers, mystifyingly, 87.9 with Najee Harris, 27th in the league. Time of possession, about even. Eagles are not doing great, and they rarely do, because either they score quick or they go three and out. Or they have one long drive a game. 20th in the league, and the Steelers are 18th. Third down efficiency, the Eagles are 6th in the league in third down efficiency at 43%, which is fantastic. That's a lot to do with Jalen Hurts, and the Steelers at 36.8. Then you go to sacks. Eagles are 16 sacks. So, again, that big one against Washington really made a difference. That makes them 14th in the league. I don't know what that is. Is that you?
Yeah.
And then
computer. I'm commercial.
No worries. And then you got the Steelers with 12 sacks, 21st in the league. But then you look at interceptions. And this is a lot where it comes down to their corners and Minka Fitzpatrick. 9 interceptions for the Eagles. That's second in the league. And the Steelers, 8 interceptions on the year, 3rd in the league. That's where they shine. Is the pass defense, not so much in the running game. So it's one of those things where I think the Eagles, if they come out with a run first mentality, whether that's RPOs with Hurts and do the same thing they did to the Cowboys. One of the things that we brought up when we were talking about the trade stuff, and I think it this is a kind of game like the Cardinals, where we know the Steelers are going to be high pressure, and they're going to be trying to stop the run, but really they mostly focus on the pass. So they're aggressive, and they're pass defenders. It reminds me of the Arizona game where we might see a lot of Goddard on screens. And if Sanders was a better receiving out of the backfield, you'd see Sanders more on screens. It's one of the reasons we see Goddard doing all of these screen works.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the reasons we need that guy like Hunt or Kamara to be able to come in and do these screen passes with. Not because I don't think Goddard can do them, but I think Goddard gets us a good 10 yards, maybe 15 yards, whereas a back like Kamara or Hunt would, I mean, the sky's the limit. The way teams line up to stop Hurts and we go with a screen game, I think it makes a really big difference. So it's going to come down to the Eagles, how they game plan this game on both sides of the ball, how they attack the Steelers' defense and what their liabilities are. What I told a friend the other day, he has Miles Sanders in fantasy, and he was trying to decide whether to start Miles Sanders or Raheem Mostert. Now, Mostert is going up against the Lions, who are extremely bad against the run this year. And I told him, I said, I love Miles Sanders. But the problem with starting Miles over Mostert when Mostert has a matchup advantage is the fact that Sanders, we never know what the Eagles' game plan is going to be week to week. We've watched six games, and they have not had a consistent game plan. It's not just all Hurts throwing to A.J. Brown. One week it's him throwing to A.J. Brown. The next week it's him throwing to Devontae Smith down the field like in the Washington game. One week they're airing it out. The next week they're throwing screen passes. One week they're running the ball like against Jacksonville, and the next week, you know, they're throwing flat passes against the Cowboys. You can't predict what this team is going to do. I like that because the defenses that we're getting ready to play, they can't watch tape on the Eagles and say, oh, we know the Eagles are going to run this play. I can't even tell you what game plan they're going to have going in this game because it could be one of 100. And that's a beauty of Shane Stitch and what they're doing with this offense right now. There's so many options where the Eagles hit them up. And I think that's which one they choose is going to be key in winning this game against the Steelers. Should they destroy the Steelers? Absolutely. But you still have to play the game, and you still have to get out there and run the calls to win it. So,
you know, even though our total yards are like right up there with the best in the league with 408, when it comes to the Eagles, I'm starting to almost see this team transition into a defense, kind of like that Seahawks where they had that. Now I'm not saying we're the Legion of Boom,
right?
Not saying that, but they built an incredible defense around Russell Wilson. I mean, he had no AJ Brown, but yeah, he had some guys that could play. But you know, our defense is playing really well this year, man. And we're starting. I think keeping us in games. Our defense has been keeping us in games, and then we'll turn it on in the second quarter. And that's when we've been widening that gap because both of them have been playing at a high level. Yeah, our offense has played at a high level, but you have to get the ball back in order to score those points in the second quarter, sir. So, you know, we scored four times in the second quarter last week. That's because our defense got us the ball back, you know, to give us those opportunities. And that's why last year when I kept screaming, you know, football is complimentary. This is what I'm talking about. This is how you compliment each other on some of the days where you're getting 9 sacks against Washington. You know, some days you're getting a couple picks here against the Vikings, you know, with Slay. In other games you have the Eagles just flat out just killing them, you know, putting up so many points in that second quarter where they can just peel their ears back and just go after the quarterback and settle in. The only thing we've done that has been suspect is go a little soft on our coverages. I think we've cleaned that up, you know. But what they were touting with the Cowboys last week of this number one defense, because they didn't allow 19 points at any point. Well, the Eagles are only allowing 17 and a half points, period. Yep. What they just touted the Cowboys, we have a 1.5 average under that, and we put that up on the Cowboys in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then we take our power nap. So that's why they came back. But, all in all, man, I think the teams being able to, you know, and to your point that you can't really plan for the Eagles, because one thing people aren't accounting for this year is how well our defense is playing. And now they have to almost prepare for it. And it's just like, man. And I just think, even with our rushing yards, I'm just looking at the stats, man. And we should not lose this game. under any circumstances. I think even if we're down, we should be able to come back. I just think we're just, it's in Philly, you know, you know, like you said, Halloween, well, Mischief Night, right? It's the 30th. So they call it out there, Mischief yeah, Night.
Yeah. Call it Devil's Night in Detroit. Yeah, so yeah, man, I just saw a thing on that.
Houses and stuff,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
All that old good stuff. But, you know, I just hope we don't come out of this bye week just overconfident because there's so many games to play, man. And we have, you know, this 11-point spread. I'm just looking at it right now. This 11-point spread. I'm like, wow. But when you look at the stats, you have to. You have to put it up like that.
Exactly.
You have to put it up there like that. And but the over-under, see, it's only 43 points. So they're expecting not a barn burner.
Right.
You know, they're not really expecting a barn burner. So, but I think the Eagles should be able to put up 40 on the Steelers, man. I really do, because it's not like they have TJ Watt. If they had Watt,
right,
I would be a little more concerned. But even with Miles Jack and all of these guys, I still think we have more talent on our offensive side, and then we have way more talent on our we have way more talent on both sides, mm-hmm. actually. I mean, you know, I don't want to do the whole rant like I did with the Cowboys, but,
right.
you know, player for player, I like the Eagles all the way through, man. If we keep that intensity, we keep that swag. I hope Robert Quinn's shows up with a chip on his shoulder. Like he said, I guess I've been traded twice already. I guess I have to prove myself again. So this isn't a guy that's just walking into the locker room. We may have a pissed off Robert Quinn on our team, you know, because he said, I'm tired of moving. So maybe he's like, look, I'm about to make sure I can stay with these Philadelphia Eagles. So let me ball out. And it could be something on the back end of this, man. Because Robert Quinn's used to, you know, if you ever know him, you know him from the Rams days. That's what I know him most of, when he played for the Rams, you know, coming off the ball, being a really good defensive end. So, yeah, man, I just overall, it's just a preview, 2-5 Steelers. But we should be able to really, really put it on them, man. I'll be disappointed if we don't, because it doesn't make sense, man. We should be able to beat these teams. But you know also the Steelers want to play spoilers. Last time we were, what, 8-0? And I think we lost to the Steelers, and Hines Ward was doing the fly, Eagles fly, and all of that. These guys are going to come in here with the same thing. Mike Tomlin's going to remind them of the same thing, even though the Steelers were way good.
Yeah, yeah, big difference. Like, yeah, big
they
difference.
They were not 2-5 right. going into that game. The Steelers were good as well, too. But we should really be able to put it on the Steelers, man, here, and then pin our ears back and make them juggle between Pickett and Trubisky.
You know, the thing, you said a mouthful. It's if the Eagles lose this game, and this is what keeps them from being undefeated, that's what would be disappointing, because if we're going to lose and ruin the perfect record, let's lose to a good team. And I don't mean to slag them off. It is just the record speaks for itself. They've got a good roster. They're just not playing well. And you're right, they don't have TJ Watt, which is huge. And it's made a big difference this year compared to the previous years. Quarterback play is bad. And I agree with you. My biggest thing is that during the bye week, all the stuff that they weren't getting, the respect they weren't getting, came when they beat the Cowboys. Not from Cowboys fans. They're still going, right till Dak comes back. The same Dak Prescott that was trailing the Detroit Lions 6-3 in the third quarter. Let's point that out real quick. Oh, Dak is back. Dak is back. Yes, they won 27-10, but they benefited by some late turnovers and some garbage time touchdowns because they were only up 10-6 in the fourth quarter. So let's not bring that up too much, but I just want to point that out. But so the only ones that didn't give us any respect to Cowboys fans, but I expect that. But the mainstream media is now unanimously, everywhere I turn, Eagles best team, Eagles best team. They get Quinn. Now they're using the word Super Bowl favorite. I don't like that. I don't. Yeah. My superstitious blood, my have seen it all before fandom where things come crashing down. I'm always expecting the other shoe to drop. So for some reason, I've been overly nervous about this game more than the Cowboys game because of the record, because I don't want them to be at home to get sucked now into a false sense of security where it all comes crashing down. I believe in Jalen Hurts, though. I think Jalen is dedicated to not letting this happen. A.J. Brown said something this week that really made me feel better. He said, that was just a bye week, and that was just the Cowboys. The real season starts now.
Right.
The real season starts now, meaning, yeah, that's over. That was the pregame. We got to our bye. Now we have to run the gauntlet the rest of the way. I see Sunday Night Football putting out the NFL, you know, saying that the Eagles might go 17-0 based on their record. I don't like that stuff. Stop doing that, because what you're doing is, again, it's like the SI cover jinx, when people used to say that that wasn't real, but it was real. Not because if you put somebody on SI, you cause them to lose. When you got on the cover of SI back in the day, of Sports Illustrated, it gave teams this false sense of security. It gave them, I made it. It's like cover the Rolling Stone if you're a rock band. I've made it. We are the best team. And then it all comes crashing down the very next week. Why? Because you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's why the jinx exists, in my belief. I don't think it's a true jinx. I think it is that building you up, and I don't want to see that happen to the Eagles. So I'm nervous about that. Do I think they'll lose? No. I'm just going to try to stay as much calm as I am. I'm going to take my Ritalin. I'm going to sit there and try to stay calm and see what happens when it's all over. I do believe that on, like you said, the Eagles are too talented right now on both sides of the ball to lose this game. So even if they win by a touchdown, I'll be happy. I just want them to win, because looking at the game, I don't like looking too far ahead. But the next three games, when you've got Pittsburgh, Houston, and then Washington. Now, granted, Washington's going to be bringing Heinicke in. They're coming off a win. They're trending upward, which is crazy to think all four teams in the NFC are now trending, NFC East, trending upward. They're going to be a matchup. Okay. But I want to see them come out of that 9-0. And then let's go where we go from there. That would be amazing to me. But, it'll be a lot of fun. What isn't a lot of fun is a segment we like on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Not a lot of fun for the subjects of it. And that segment is... This is our hell to the no for this week. And for those that listen to the podcast and can't see it right now, you will. It'll be our cover for the episode. I thought this was brilliant. I love it. This is the three Alabama quarterbacks. And after Monday night with the Patriots, you got Jalen Hurts in the middle, who is by far the hottest, and then Tua next to him, and then Mac Jones as looking like something out of the 20 swimsuit. So you got two swimsuit models that look hot, and then Mac Jones, it looks like special needs kid. It's
how about this? One of these things are not like the other.
Exactly.
Pretty much. And Mac Jones is definitely, this is appropriate. But I will say this. I'm going to defend Mac Jones. Okay. I thought he got a raw deal. On Monday Night Football.
Right.
Basically, if you're going to have that short of a leash on the quarterback, then start the other quarterback. Because I expect a player who hasn't played in a few weeks to struggle a little bit in the first maybe two quarters. But if now you get into the third quarter and he's still doing it, you know, after that little halftime where you catch your breath because you haven't played the last 2 weeks, or maybe last 3 weeks. No, it's 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks?
I think it was 2 weeks.
Because I think it was 3 weeks, because remember, Zappi was the third string. And then the guy that replaced him, I think it was Hoyer. He got hurt immediately, and then Zappi. So that was Zappi's two starts, something like that.
Yeah,
he was out for a few weeks. Then he came back, and I think Belichick fell for the okie doke of the crowd, you know, chanting Zappi. And do I think Zappi could be a good quarterback? I do. I just think you've put both of them in a situation that's now weird, because you just couldn't hold your water for a second. I think you play that game out with Mac Jones. If he does bad, then you get Zappy, take all the QB1 snaps going into the next week, and then you go like that. Yeah, but yeah, man, one of these things are definitely not like the other.
Yeah, we were talking about it, and I said about it the same thing, because I agree with you. I think Mac Jones, it played really well last year. There's a lot to like there, but this year he's not got off to the best start. And then Zappi comes in, looks great. And I honestly think that they thought they had Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady all over again. that Zappe was going to come in and he was never going to relinquish the starting position. You had the whole stadium chanting Zappe. He comes out and he throws two touchdowns. And then the wheels fall off and they lose to the Bears. And it's I was surprised that the Bears traded Quinn after that, because you think, oh, the Bears would think they're on top of the world after that game, but they're still realists. They're still realists that they know that they got beat, and they know that Quinn is unhappy. So it was our benefit. But yeah, Mac Jones, we'll see how it goes. I think the Patriots, good defensively. They've got good running. Stevenson has run the ball really well, but they don't put a lot of fear into teams like they used to. Buffalo is in charge of that division. And to be honest, think about the AFC East for just a second. And this is unthinkable in 2022, just a few years after their last Super Bowl against the Rams. The Bills are better. The Jets are better. And the Dolphins are better. The Patriots, in a lot of people's eyes, are the worst team in the AFC East. Did you ever think that you would say that just a few years removed from the last Super Bowl?
I never thought I would say that as long as Bill Belichick was their coach.
Yeah. Jets 5-2.
Unbelievable. And it's Salah. He told everybody, remember when he lost that second game? He said, like, don't jump back on us or something. Yep. Well, remember this when we're sitting at 5-2. He predicted something and, bruh, unbelievable. Because people were down on Salah in week two.
Yeah.
And he got to that press conference and, you know, all right, y'all go ahead and laugh at us, because I think they, like, gave up a game, something like that, or blew a lead. And he was like, it's okay. This is a good football team.
Yep.
He apparently knew what he had there, and Flacco came in. That was an underrated part of the season, too. Flacco kind of came in and kind of just held his water, man. you know, just did enough with Garrett Wilson and won some games, and then, you know, Wilson comes back. It's just weird what's going on with the Jets. Their defense is holding them. The same defense that Jalen went 6-for-6 and 80 yards and a touchdown. Down. He had a Capri Sun
in preseason.
And that was enough. That same Jets defense was enough for Jalen to be like, yeah, I'm done for the rest of the preseason. This same 5-2 team, but we're talking about the Eagles, so
can't
be right? We whoop them in preseason, but you remember that first drive. They had everybody in. Sauce Gardner, they had everybody in.
Amazing.
6-for-6, 80 yards, good night. And I'll see you guys in the regular season.
And that was it. That was it. That's all we saw, Jalen. You're right. You're exactly right. So, the thing that hurts them, again, it's an Eagles podcast, but we're just talking NFL. The Breece Hall injury is bad, but then they go out and get Robinson, which is huge. It doesn't mean that Robinson's going to run all over teams like Hall is. Hall seemed to have some magic that Carter didn't. That's why he was playing over Carter. So that's why they knew they couldn't just focus on Carter. Carter's a good change of pace back. But Robinson has the potential to really to do something there. We'll have to just see how they roll with Robinson. It makes Robinson owners happy and Etienne owners happy in fantasy, because now Etienne is not splitting carries in Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's fine with it. I mean, you know, it gave them a chance to keep rebuilding, and they could still focus on Etienne as a running back. So I think everybody benefited from that deal, and we'll see where the Jets go from here. I just know that the AFC East is stacked. Because the Patriots are not even a horrible team by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, they lost to the Bills. But the AFC East, it doesn't look bad. But we're in the NFC East. Right now, we're 6-0. I can't believe that the Giants are sitting at 6-1 and the Cowboys 5-2. I would much rather I have a 6-0 and have them completely suck in it. But that's okay, because you got to keep winning the games and you got to play the opponents in front of you and continue to win so you can control your own destiny. And I think that the Eagles should do that on Sunday. And it remains to be seen, but we're going to be watching, and you watch too. So for all of those that have tuned in to the Where Eagles Dare podcast on Twitch, YouTube, or Facebook Live, thank you very much. If you're watching on the replay, thank you again. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so that you can always get notified when we go live. We love to hear from the people that listen to the show. If you want to reach out to us and ask us a question, we do a fantasy show every week, so you can ask us questions on fantasy and on NFL picks. You can email us at our email address is lee.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, eagles dare@gmail.com. And as always, you can always listen to us on any podcast provider that's out there. We are on Amazon Music, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, and so many more. So we are going to have a fantasy football and pick segment this week. We will be putting that out when we're going to do that. So just keep an eye out for that. We'll be notified when we go live to do our fantasy football and pick segment. So with all that being said, Steelers week. And I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the night.
Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Where Goes There podcast. Got the birds 30-10 over the Steelers. This should be light work. This should be light work, man. I'm just keeping it. This should be light work. If we can't beat the Steelers, then we're in trouble. So I say that. If we can't beat the Steelers, then we're in trouble. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Happy Halloween, everyone, and have a good weekend.